www.hunterdoncan.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. I have several friends who are alumni of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. This great institution allows cadets to further their education and earn a commission in our military if they wish, which about one out of every three do. Ranked as the number one public college in the South, the Citadel also offers master's degrees and graduate certificates online or on campus. If you're looking for a bachelor or master's degree, this just might be the college for you. Check citadel.edu. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we're going to talk with two Holocaust survivors. Yeah, the Holocaust really did happen. Then we'll review the movie of the month, and of course we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. We're continuing our conversation with Holocaust survivors. It's an honor to welcome Geeta to the show. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Geeta.
Thank you.
Geeta, you are a Holocaust survivor, and I've read in many news media that a good percentage of people in America don't believe there was a Holocaust, or they don't know about it. So there's nothing like talking to someone who had to experience it to help people understand what really did happen. So, Geeta, tell us about your childhood. Where did you grow up? What was life like?
My childhood was in a small village. The name was Cenger, and we lived among Jews and Christians in a very peaceful way until the Second World War started.
What happened when it started?
When it started, they had to give us orders to wear a yellow Jewish star. And we were not allowed to go on the sidewalk, only on the road. And Jews not supposed to sell in the store for non-Jewish people. And we were not allowed to buy anything by non-Jewish stores. No business. We were not allowed to have any business together with the Christians. Also, they had all kind of orders to give in to the township, like horses and carriages and belonging that they could use. And also, they came to liquidate food from house to house to take what we had more than what we needed. So it was a war going on. I am talking about 1944, when in March the Germans invaded Hungary and they took over all the orders. So we were dealing with the German people.
Geeta, how old were you when this was going on?
I was 14 years old.
So you were old enough to see and know what was going on.
To see what's happening and to understand. It was very hard to understand why and how come that it's happening, but I did understand the situation, what's going on. It's a war, and against the Jews, a war.
How did your parents respond? How many other brothers and sisters did you have, and how did your family?
Seven children. One child, he was in Budapest, in the capital of the of Hungary, so he survived with fake documents. But the rest of my family, my parents, and six of my siblings, we were all remained in the town, and we had to follow orders what to do as a Jew. That was a very fast action, because in March they came in, and a month later they took us from my hometown to a ghetto, which is 30 kilometers away from my town, and we were stayed there for 6 weeks. After 6 weeks, they were transporting us in train to Auschwitz.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking with Holocaust survivor Geeta about her experience in Germany during World War II. Go on, Geeta.
Yes. So we were traveling 3 days in cattle trains to Auschwitz. We arrived after 3 days to Auschwitz, and we were separated, my parents, first my men, and then the women with the children, separated. And since then, I never saw my father, but my two other brothers, that they were older, they were 15 and 16, and they survived. They were working in Buchenwald, and they survived. And so did I. I was taken from Auschwitz. After being 4 months in Auschwitz, I was taken to Germany to a factory working. And by the end, I had a very, very difficult few weeks. We were working first in a factory in a German city, and then we were working in a cave in kind of inside the mountains. And after then, we heard that Allies are approaching closer to us, and they were shipping us in trains from town to town, and escaping and running with the German army from the Allies. So by the end, they were adding more trains with the slaves. Some of the men, they were killed. I mean, thousands of from us. They were killed during night. And when they took us out also from the train, ready to kill us, we had a messenger run with a motor bicycle to, I don't know, it was the order that we should go back to the train, and they were taking us to Sweden. So that was my liberation. A year and a half being in Sweden, I heard from the Red Cross movement that my three brothers and my sister survived, and they are back to the town where we used to live. So I left Sweden and I went there. I went back to my hometown. Name was Changer. And when I was there, it was no Nazism there, but it was communism. And it was a very difficult life there. People came back without parents, and we didn't know where to go and what to do with ourselves. So I enjoyed a Zionist movement, which we were trained to go to Palestine. That time they called Palestine Israel. So 2 years being there, I was ready. In the meantime, they were announcing the Jewish statehood, so became Palestine Israel, and they were collecting us and taking us to Israel. When we arrived to Israel, the war broke out between the Arabs and the Jews, And I was engaged already to my husband. And from the ship, they took him right away to the army and me into a camp. And this is where we were living.
Sophie, thank you. I can see that you have lived and are still living as a person who has been through great and horrible things, but because you decided to survive, you survived. You're a great role model.
Right.
I'm proud to have you as a guest on the show. Thank you for taking
You're
time to join
welcome.
Us today.
You're very welcome.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, we'll talk with a Holocaust survivor. Then we'll review the movie of the month. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want you to balance on one foot for 3 minutes, then balance on the other foot for 3 minutes. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Look like sheep, and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing, because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Let's transform that risk into income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Holocaust survivors. It's an honor to welcome Sophie Klisman, who's from Detroit, Michigan. So welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, Sophie.
Thank you.
Sophie, tell us about your childhood. Where did you grow up and what was life like then?
I grew up in Lodz, Poland. Life was very difficult. We were very poor. But being the youngest of four children and very loving parents, I didn't feel deprived of much. I was a very happy child going to school. When World War II broke out, I was 10 years old. For my parents, it was a very difficult life. My father was a tailor, and my mother was a homemaker. taking care of four children. So Shabbat dinners were so special, and my memories of that is beautiful.
But then the Holocaust came into your community and into your life and into your family.
And then my life has completely changed. Like I said, I was 10 years old. Nazi Germany occupied Poland, my hometown, in 1939, September 1st. And everything just turned to chaos. It started out, we had to move from our place, which wasn't too big, but we had to move to the ghetto, which were much smaller quarters. Schools were closed, food was rationed, and had to go to work, whoever was able to. I was fortunate at my age. They found a job for me in a knitting shop, and we had instructors, and we worked long hours. And like I said, food became rationed. We were hungry. And that, in 1941, my mother was the first one to become sick with dysentery, starvation. There was no help, no doctors, no medicine, and that was very difficult to watch her. A slow death, and eventually she did die at the end of 41. And at that time, in Lodz Ghetto, there were 150,000 people when the ghetto closed. But people, because of starvation and disease, they were dying daily by the hundreds. When my mother died, we couldn't go to a funeral. We didn't know. They just took the body away. And that was very difficult. I was 11 years old at the time. It was tragic, really. And a short time after, my father, the same horrible death, starvation, disease, no help from anybody. And also, a year later, I had two brothers, like I said, my 17-year-old brother. He was only 17. And that was just horrible. My sister and I, my oldest brother, were left. And we just went on being hungry, going to work, being scared, being cold. And somehow we went on until the year 1944, when the ghetto, Lodz Ghetto, was liquidated. We were sent to Auschwitz.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. This is okay. Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing the Holocaust with Holocaust survivor Sophie Klisman. Sophie, continue your story. What was Auschwitz like?
Okay. My brother, my sister, and I were put into a boxcar. Where conditions were just horrible, no food, no water, no. We arrived, I think, one day later, whoever survived, you know, people were passing out, crying, horrible, in the boxcars. They opened the doors, and we arrived in Auschwitz. To describe that, Auschwitz was total chaos, hundreds. Nazi soldiers, vicious dogs, the screams for the soldiers to get out of the cars. It was such confusion, such fear. My brother and my sister were clinging on to each other, being so frightened. A short time after, a Nazi soldier came and tore my brother away from us because we were so holding on so tight to each other. And they took him away. He waved. We cried. And I never saw him again. He perished. Don't know where, when. That was very hard. Needless to say, the women were put in line to go into barracks. We had to undress, leave everything that we had. They shaved our heads. And we were put into showers, huge room. Fortunately, I survived, and my sister did too, because either the poison gases that they were putting into the showers malfunctioned, or it was a miracle. We got out of the showers. They gave us just a rag to wear. And we were told where we were going to sleep. It was like a piece of wood, like kind of bunk beds, but no blanket, no pillow, no sheets. Hungry. And in the mornings, they would always count us and selections. And one of the miracles that I call in my life was I was 15 years old at the time. And going through a selection, I don't know for sure. There was a big Nazi, and they all looked so frightening to me, those soldiers. They were so big. Imagine that a 15-year-old girl that was starved for so many years, so I was a scrawny little child. I went through a selection, and later we heard that this was Dr. Joseph Mengele.
Oh, my goodness.
Selecting the people.
Sophie, that is a horrible place. Indeed, I was at Auschwitz this past winter visiting it. I'm sure it was not. Your visit there was longer and much more brutal, but I certainly could see how brutal it was. You ultimately were set free, when the war ended. What is your life like now?
I'm a widow, but I have a son and a daughter and their spouses. And I'm very fortunate because they're wonderful kids. They treat me well. And I'm also fortunate that I survived. And the liberation, if I just make it real short, was very emotional. I was liberated with my sister by American troops. And I'll never forget that day. It was April 14th. And those soldiers came off the tanks and opened the gates, and they told us, the war is over, you're free. They looked at us, and they cried. We all looked like skeletons, walking skeletons.
Sophie, you've had a horrible life followed by a wonderful life. I guess a wonderful life followed by a horrible life followed by a wonderful life. Thank you for taking time to join us today, and thank you for helping our nation and the world never forget the Holocaust. We can't let that happen again. Thank you, ma'am.
Amen. Thank you.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll review the movie of the month, and then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. It's time for one-arm push-ups. Troops, do 18 with each arm, then stand at ease. But do stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs entirely online. Flexible scheduling makes these programs convenient for working professionals. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's granting public college in the South. Online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
I started going cold turkey, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it.
Do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats and President Trump had a very productive meeting on infrastructure.
It's about jobs, jobs, jobs. It's about promoting commerce. It's about clean air, clean water. It's a quality of life issue, getting people out of their cars, not being on the road so much.
Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer also called the meeting very constructive and said the president agreed that they need to spend roughly $2 trillion on infrastructure. As the House Rules Committee holds its first ever hearing on the Medicare for All plan, Louisiana Republican Congressman Steve Scalise says he doesn't want to take away more choices from people.
We want to protect people with pre-existing conditions while focus on lowering premiums, giving families more choices. Let families choose which doctor they want to see and which plan they want to buy for their family, not some unelected bureaucrat in Washington.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? fish oil, or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom, troops. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. It's a privilege to welcome to the show my West Point classmate, Tom Anthony. Tom's written several books. One, Sabine, is made into a movie and is our movie of the month. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Danny. Appreciate it.
Tom, start by telling us about your time in the military, your time in Mother Army. We graduated together. What'd you do?
Well, after Ranger School, where we all started, Germany, a nuclear missile unit there, and then Fort Campbell, where I commanded a training company. After that, First Air Cav, Vietnam. I was wounded in Tet 68, and after that I had a little better duty as an escort officer for Miss Universe and also for Joe DiMaggio another time.
And that's worth the wound, isn't it?
Well, not directly.
Okay.
And then I was reassigned back to the States, but I knew I didn't want to make the Army a career, and I wanted to get into international business. So I asked for an interesting, useful assignment as my last active duty assignment and was assigned to the Combat Developments Command for field artillery input for chemical and biological weapons.
And then you stepped into doing what when you got out?
International business. I was recruited by Firestone and moved to Akron, Ohio, where I was the administrative assistant to the president of the international company, and they paid for my master's degree in international business, University of Akron. And my first assignment then was to Vienna with responsibility for Eastern Europe.
Wow. You did jump around.
That was pretty cool. Then after that, to London, responsibility for Europe and Africa, and then the world back at headquarters in Akron, where I was director for strategic planning.
But somehow you ended up in the Philippines.
Yes. How that happened was after Firestone got bought by Bridgestone, I decided it was time for me to do something else and joined Universal Electronics, a startup in Cleveland, Ohio, and moved to Asia, where I met my wife in Singapore 22 years ago, and we were married in Manila and lived 8 years in our home in Mindanao on the Celebes Sea.
Okay, that explains your obviously really strong knowledge of the Philippines.
Yeah, while in the Philippines, I was very much inspired not only by my wife and family, but by General Ong, Ramon Ong, our class of 63, and also General Fidel Ramos, class of 50, who was had been president of the Philippines. And our little club, West Point Society of the Philippines, gave me a lot of insight and inspired me to try to write a big movie.
Well, that you certainly had the right kind of inspiration. Those gents were outstanding by any standard you'd like to come up with.
That's very true.
Okay. Let's talk about, you wrote the book first and then the movie, and therefore talk about why you wrote the book and talk, I guess they're sort of mixed in your mind, aren't they?
There's a sequel and a prequel here. I wanted to make the big movie, Rebels of Mindanao, which is about the rising conflict in Southeast Asia. And that book did pretty good, and I wanted to make it into a movie. But the people that I connected with there, the director of photography and the crew from Mandela, said, that's too big to start with. What else? What do you got to start with? And I had a prequel I had written. I called MacArthur Highway because I visualized MacArthur returning, standing in his Jeep with his corncob pipe, driving along MacArthur Highway, spelled incorrectly, and seeing the Philippines that he came back to. And I said, well, the director of photography said, well, that's just the background. What's the story? And so I created then the movie Sabine, which is set on that stage. She's an innocent young girl, unintentionally sold into sex slavery by her parents. And then I created unique characters to conflict and just let them interact. Characters such as the corrupt cop, the gay missionary with kids, the evil cockfighter, the retired prostitute, and the English teacher who on his first day in town drives his car into Sabine on the street. And that's how the movie Sabine evolved.
Well, it certainly was something that it was hard to put down. Once you started watching that thing, I didn't read the book, but I certainly watched the movie. It was hard to get away from because you never knew what was going to happen next.
That was the idea, Denny.
Well, here's a few of the listener comments. One, wow, what a different culture. If you're an American, like I think most of my watchers are, the culture in the Philippines that you displayed is very, very different than ours. It's less wealthy. It's less clean. It's a different culture. And cultures aren't better or worse than each other. They're just different. It's different. And birds fighting to the death as a sport, is that something that is fairly common in the Philippines?
Yeah, that's very common. I think it goes back to the bullfight and the influence that the Spanish occupation of the Philippines brought to their culture. And the cockfights go out into big galera every weekend in Davao City, where we lived, and other places. And it is definitely part of the culture. And yes, it's different. And that's what I wanted to show in my books and movies about this place, Mindanao, that we don't know about and many people haven't even heard about.
Indeed. What was shocking to me, because I know a bit about the Philippines, was one, a family selling their daughter, understand, poor, and you have to do something.
Well, it was not their intention. They thought they were getting her a real job at a wedding dress rental shop, but that's not the way it worked out.
Okay. And then she was attacked, and the guy cut off her ears?
And fed them to the cat, yes. Then she runs up onto the street where she's accidentally hit by the English teacher who thought he hurt her.
And that is really where the rest of the story begins, where she learns what happened and meets people and ends up with a boyfriend, maybe husband, who is the last person in the world you'd expect.
Yes. A year passes. The evil cockfighter also cuts off his ears in a dispute. So they have something in common, but they don't know this about each other until they accidentally reconnect in a street dance team. And they fall in love with each other, not knowing who they are.
So the guy who cut off her ears, who ultimately had his ears cut off, the victim and the perpetrator ended up as a couple, and that's how the that is not your standard movie. That's why
Thank
it was
you.
Hard not to watch that thing. It's Thank an amazing
you.
Movie.
Appreciate it. That was the objective.
Tom, we're about out of time. Got any final last words on the movie that you'd like the listeners to take away, those who haven't seen it yet?
Yes, I'd be very interested in feedback. You can get at authortomanthony.com, download the movie, the e-books, audiobooks, and I appreciate any comment.
Thank you, brother. Tom, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, and thank you for creating these books. I really liked your first book. I've seen the second movie. Keep it up, Burrow. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Denny. See you back at West Point.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be at about 100 pounds by now. Do an even 100 bench presses, 20 at a time. I want your ranger ready, then stand at ease. Spartan Nash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember. As a national partner with Honor and Remember, Spartan Nash is deeply committed to never forgetting those who paid the ultimate price in service to our country.
The flag serves as a symbol of remembrance, and Spartan Nash flies the Honor and Remember flag at all facilities. The flag artwork is also on our fleet of tractor trailers, which travel nearly 67 million miles each year.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes, plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living Consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Tom from Michigan liked the story about Air America. He'd heard of it, but knew nothing about what they did or how they did it.
Thanks, Tom. I hope you'll buy a copy of the book, Flight.
Mary has a son interested in West Point. She really appreciated the interview about the preparatory school.
Mary, I wish your son the best as he seeks to join the long gray line. Well, this is the time we take to honor the life and service of a veteran who's no longer with us. Mildred Jane Doyle Besseler passed away on Friday, February 1st, 2019, surrounded by her beloved family. She was born on October 13th, 1921, in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Jane attended South High School, Grand Rapids Junior College, and the University of Michigan School of Architecture and Design, graduated in 1943. She was a member of Tau Sigma Delta and Alpha Alpha Gamma honorary societies in architecture and allied arts at the University of Michigan. Following graduation, she was accepted into the Women's Air Force Service Pilots Program and graduated in 1944, this is during World War II. Upon completion, she served as an engineering test pilot stationed at Freeman Field, Seymour, Indiana. In 2010, the WASPs received the Congressional Gold Medal for their service during World War II. After the war, she was employed by the Grand Rapids Public Schools and Aquinas College. She spent the last several years attending air shows and speaking engagements, representing the WASPs as an honored guest. Well, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
On 3 May 1942, during World War II, the first day of the first modern naval engagement in history, called the Battle of the Coral Sea, a Japanese invasion force succeeded in occupying Tulagi of the Solomon Islands in an expansion of Japan's defensive perimeter. The U.S., having broken Japan's secret war code and forewarned of an impending invasion of Tulagi and Port Moresby, attempted to intercept the Japanese armada. 4 days of battles between Japanese and American aircraft carriers resulted in 70 Japanese and 66 American warplanes destroyed. This confrontation marked the first air-naval battle in history, as none of the carriers fired at each other, allowing the planes taking off from their decks to do the battling. Among the casualties was the American carrier Lexington, the Blue Ghost, so-called because it was not camouflaged like other carriers. It suffered such extensive aerial damage that it had to be sunk by its own crew. 216 Lexington crewmen died as a result of the Japanese aerial bombardment. Although Japan would go on to occupy all of the Solomon Islands, its victory was a Pyrrhic one. The cost in experienced pilots and aircraft carriers was so great that Japan had to cancel its expedition to Port Moresby, Papua, and other South Pacific targets.
And on April 29, 1945, at the end of World War II, the U.S. Army's 45th Infantry Division liberated Dachau, the first concentration camp established by Germany's Nazi regime. Established 5 weeks after Adolf Hitler took power in 1933, Dachau was situated about 10 miles northeast of Munich. During its first year, the camp held about 5,000 political prisoners. During the next few years, the number of prisoners grew dramatically, and beginning in 1938, Jews began to comprise a major portion of the internees. Prisoners were used as forced laborers for German armaments production. The camp served as the training center for SS concentration camp guards and was a model for other Nazi concentration camps. Dachau was also the first Nazi camp to use prisoners as human guinea pigs in medical experiments. Hundreds of prisoners died or were crippled as a result of these experiments. Thousands of inmates died or were executed at Dachau, and thousands more were transferred to a Nazi extermination center near Linz in Austria. In 1944, to increase war production, the main camp was supplemented by dozens of satellite camps established near armaments factories. With the advance of Allied forces in April of 1945, the Germans transferred prisoners from concentration camps near the front to Dachau, leading to a general deterioration of conditions and typhus epidemics. On April 29th, the Dachau main camp was liberated by units of the 45th Infantry after a brief battle with the camp's remaining guards. As they neared the camp, the Americans found over 30 railroad cars filled with bodies in various states of decomposition. Inside the camp, there were more bodies and 30,000 survivors, mostly severely emaciated. Some of the American troops who liberated Dachau were so appalled by the conditions at the camp, they machine-gunned at least two groups of captured German guards. The German citizens of the town of Dachau were later forced to bury the 9,000 dead inmates found in the camp. In the course of Dachau's history, at least 160,000 prisoners passed through the main camp and 90,000 through the sub-camps. Incomplete records indicated that at least 32,000 of the inmates perished at Dachau and its sub-camps, but countless more were shipped to extermination camps elsewhere.
On 30 April 1945, der Führer, Adolf Hitler, burrowed away in a refurbished air raid shelter, consumed a cyanide capsule, then shot himself with a pistol as his 1,000-year Reich collapsed above him. Hitler had repaired to his bunker on January 16 after deciding to remain in Berlin for the last great siege of the war. 55 feet under the chancellery, the shelter contained 18 small rooms and was fully self-sufficient with its own water and electrical supply. He left only rarely and spent most of his time micromanaging what was left of German defenses and entertaining such guests as Hermann Goering, Heinrich Himmler, and Joachim von Ribbentrop. At his side were Eva Braun, whom he married only 2 days before their double suicide. Warned by officers that the Russians were only a day or so from overtaking the chancellery and urged to escape to Berchtesgaden, a small town in the Bavarian Alps, the dictator instead chose suicide. The bodies of Hitler and Eva were cremated in the chancellery garden by the bunker survivors and reportedly later recovered in part by Russian troops. A German court finally officially declared Hitler dead, but not until 1956.
But dead he is. On 2 May 1945, at the end of World War II, approximately 1 million German soldiers laid down their arms at the terms of German unconditional surrender, signed at Caserta on April 29th, as they came into effect. Many Germans surrendered to Japanese soldiers, Japanese Americans. Among the American tank crews that entered the northern Italian town of Biella was an all-Nisi, that second-generation infantry battalion composed of Japanese Americans from Hawaii. Earlier that same day, Russian Marshal Georgi Zhukov accepted the surrender of the German capital. The Red Army took 134,000 German soldiers prisoner. And that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have today?
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
A convenience store clerk in Virginia faces voluntary manslaughter charges in connection with the fatal shooting of a robbery suspect, according to reports. Police said Jeremy Simmons, 31, of Richmond, used his personal handgun to fire at Joseph Harris, 43, when Harris tried to rob the store where Simmons worked. Harris fled the store, and Simmons followed him, firing more shots. Police learned of the shooting after finding Harris's body on the rear porch of a home. An investigation led them to Simmons, police said in a statement. Simmons also faces charges of discharging a firearm in public.
Thanks, Colonel. One of the many challenges in carrying concealed for personal protection is knowing when to shoot and when to restrain yourself. On the one hand, if you wait too long, then you may be killed by your attacker. On the other hand, if you rush things and make a bad call, then you could be charged with a crime. In this story, our armed citizen made two very important errors which lead directly to him being charged with manslaughter. One, he followed a fleeing felon. This is not a good idea. So many bad things could have happened. The felon could have ambushed and killed the citizen. The police could have seen a man chasing after another citizen with a gun and shot him simply because they didn't know the full story. Possibilities are endless. Most jurisdictions will not condone you shooting a fleeing robber while he is trying to get away, simply because you are no longer in imminent fear of death or serious bodily injury. Once the bad guy leaves, you are safe. Don't take the law into your own hands. And two, the armed citizen didn't call the police after the encounter. This looks very suspicious. You can't just shoot a robber and then go home and continue on with your life as if it never happened. The first person to call the police is generally considered to be the victim, simply because criminals flee the scene and do not call the authorities, whereas innocent victims call 911 and report the crime. In my opinion, this shopkeeper knew in his gut that he'd made a bad call, and he didn't want to face the music, so he didn't report it. Anyone who carries a gun for personal protection must know the laws of deadly force and follow them to the letter. And this educational process is ongoing, since the rules can sometimes change. Part of being responsibly armed is having good judgment and knowing the law. This armed citizen did neither and is now paying the price for it.
That's an oops. Our movie of the month is Salome. We just reviewed it. Please go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can still watch it for free for the rest of this month. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Dr. Melissa Graves will return to discuss the Bill of Rights, especially the First and Second Amendments. Then, contributor Faye Richardson Green will join me as we discuss racism and its impact on our military and our nation. And my good friend Rick Veist will discuss his new book about military heroes, Operation Rumination.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.
Ron Maniloff has lived through decades of hot, sunny weather. Visits to his dermatologist to remove skin cancers, called cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma, or CSCC, were routine.
I've been living with CSCC for the past 30 years. They always showed up as dry patches on my face. I never thought it was anything to worry about until they started to get bigger and spread.
Every year, an estimated 700,000 people are diagnosed with CSCC, the second most common type of skin cancer in the U.S., Although readily treatable when caught early, CSCC can turn deadly in advanced stages, and in the southern half of the U.S., deaths from CSCC may outnumber deaths from melanoma.
I had never seen such rapid invasive growth in my life. It was terrifying. People need to be proactive in asking their doctor questions and learning about all available treatments.
CSCC is caused by a lifetime of sun exposure, among other factors. Learn more at skincancerquestions.com. This report is brought to you by Regeneron and Sanofi.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology.
I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A coup appears to be taking place in the Venezuelan capital of Caracas as Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido is trying to force out President Nicolas Maduro. There is gunfire and tear gas being launched by military forces loyal to Guaido and Maduro. Guaido protesters are hurling rocks and Molotov cocktails at the Maduro troops. Republican Senator from Florida Rick Scott says he hopes Maduro is gone sooner rather than later.
I'm hopeful that at the end of the day Maduro will be out of the country. He'll be in Cuba. He'll be in Turkey or someplace. Juan Guaido will be the interim leader.
President Trump and Democratic leaders had a productive meeting on Tuesday to talk about how to fix our nation's infrastructure. House Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says things went well with the president.
We agreed on a number, which was very, very good, $2 trillion for infrastructure.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
Pima County, Arizona Sheriff Mark Knapper says the situation on the nation's southern border is a crisis, not a partisan one, but a humanitarian one. On Capitol Hill today, the sheriff says massive drug seizures have been made along the border.
When we interdicted 13,000 fentanyl pills, we know they were not manufactured in the United States and they were not destined for consumption in Pima County. This is a national problem.
Regarding politics, Knapper says,
this is a humanitarian and public safety crisis of compelling and unprecedented nature. It's not a manufactured crisis or a partisan crisis.
The House Rules Committee is continuing to hold its first ever hearing on the Medicare for All plan. Texas Republican Congressman Michael Burgess, though, he calls it by another name.
Rules Committee is meeting even as we speak right now to consider a bill that would actually be a single-payer, government-run, top-down, Soviet-style, command-and-control health care bill. At least that's how I'm characterizing it.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The nationwide measles outbreak hit an alarming milestone as the number of cases hit a 25-year high. The CDC is saying 78 new cases were reported over the last week. This brings this year's totals to 704 in 22 states. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. Tara Narlu explains when your child should be vaccinated.
So the first dose should come between 12 and 15 months, the second dose between 4 and 6 years old. The CDC just said for the summer, if you're going to be traveling abroad, even if you have an infant that's 6 to 11 months, you can get one dose at that point. And if they're over 12 months and you're going to be traveling, you can get two doses separated by about 28 days.
The doctor also says...
And, you know, Secretary Azar said yesterday that this suffering is completely avoidable. Unfortunately, most of us haven't seen what can be severe consequences of the measles. One out of four hospitalized, one out of 20 with pneumonia, one out of 1,000 can develop encephalitis, which is swelling of the brain that can lead to permanent brain damage.
A TV legend has a health scare. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the latest.
Larry King experienced a health scare last Thursday and had to undergo a heart procedure. King remains in the hospital after undergoing an angioplasty and stent procedure. Now, to be clear, his doctors say in a statement, and contrary to published reports, he did not have a heart attack and did not go into cardiac arrest. The broadcaster expected to make a full recovery. He'll be released from the hospital soon, according to a spokesperson.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A coup appears to be taking place in the Venezuelan capital of Caracas as Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido is trying to force out President Nicolas Maduro. There is gunfire and tear gas being launched by military forces loyal to Guaido and Maduro. Guaido protesters are hurling rocks and Molotov cocktails at the Maduro troops. Republican Senator from Florida Rick Scott says he hopes Maduro is gone sooner rather than later.
I'm hopeful that at the end of the day that, you know, the Maduro will be out of the country. He'll be in Cuba. He'll be in Turkey or someplace. Juan Guaido will be the interim leader.
President Trump and Democratic leaders had a productive meeting on Tuesday to talk about how to fix our nation's infrastructure. House Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says things went well with the president.
We agreed on a number, which was very, very good, $2 trillion for infrastructure.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's Medicare.
Out of activist in Virginia, terrified his mother when he was a young teen. Samantha Lee Bloom reportedly called 911 on James Fields Jr. when he was 13 and 14 years old. The mother called the police from a locked bathroom in 2010 to report Fields hit her in the head. Bloom, who uses a wheelchair, also reported her son once pulled a 12-inch knife on her. The now 20-year-old Fields is charged with second-degree murder in the death of counter-protester Heather Heyer at an alt-right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia on Saturday. Meanwhile, a Confederate statue in North Carolina that stood for decades has been toppled after angry protesters pulled it down. A group attached a rope to the statue outside the Durham County Courthouse last night and toppled it. The protest comes days after the white nationalist march in Charlottesville, Virginia. This is USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to prostatereport.com. That's prostatereport.com.
One of President Trump's biggest backers may see his legal troubles disappear. The president retweeted a Fox News story this morning saying he is seriously considering a pardon for former Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Arpaio was convicted of criminal contempt for maintaining patrols targeting illegal immigrants. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is releasing the annual U.S. report on religious freedom around the world.
Legislation that upholds religious freedom as a core American value under the Constitution's First Amendment, as well as a universal human right.
Speaking of the State Department today, Tillerson said religious persecution and